Il-program li ser tisimaw u għamidġu plilkom biex xoqat tajba ta' rappresentanza tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea f'Malta. Campus FM jipprezenta Il-Balomba. Program li jagħti ħarsa li l-aħħar ġrajiet u żviluppi relatati mal-istituzzjonijiet Ewropej. Produzzjoni u prezentazzjoni ta' Jasmin Saliba.
Lodwa tajba, jina Jasmin Saliba insemmi l-komun il-għakom għal l-edizzjoni ta' din il-ġimgħa tal-programm il-Balomba, programm imtella mit-rappresentanza tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea f'Malta, protezzjoni ta' komunik.eu, u li fija natu ħarsa lejn l-aħbarijiet li jkunu qegħdin iseħħu madwar dawk l-aspetti u istituzzjonijiet tal-Unjoni Ewropea. Spiss nisimgħu dwar il-politika ta' koeżjoni tal-Unjoni Ewropea. Politika li lan tagħha hija dik li tqarreb reġuni flimkien żoni diversi li forsi jkollhom livelli ekonomiċi differenti u li permezz tagħha din il-politika jitqarbu aktar lejn xulxin biex ikunu jistgħu joperaw b'mod aktar viċin aktar ugwali. Mingħajr ebda dubju, żmien tal-pandemija tal-COVID-19 kien żmien illi laqat numru ta' pajjiżi b'mod differenti, però f'kull ċirkostanza inħolqu l-possibilitajiet ta' riski illi hemm fid-dawl tal-mod kif pajjiż ikun jista' jimxi iktar minn ħadd ieħor, jew inkella jintlaqat iktar gravi minn ħadd ieħor, u l-politika ta' koeżjoni allura hija strumentali biex tindirizza dawn id-diverġenzi, dawn id-differenzi, dawn il-riski il-staw jinħolqu fuq livelli vari. U kien f'dan il-kuntest li numru ta' azzjonijiet li tieħdu u fondi ġew allokati kienu propju immirati lejn dan il-qasam u dan l-aspett speċifiku ta' din il-qafol ta' politika Ewropea, politika ta' solidarjetà fil-prattika biex nieħu, biex naħseb waħda mit-termini li jista' wieħed juża għall-politika ta' koeżjoni hija li f'termini prattiċi jiġu indirizzati jiddifferenzi il-vojt u l-problemi li jista' jkun hemm kawża ta' daw id-diskrepanzi bejn pajjiż u bejn żona oħra. Il-verità hija li l-COVID-19 ma tħares lejn wieħed ħadd u dan qegħdin naraw f'numru ta' ċirkostanzi batta pajjiżi li qegħdin jieħdu miżuri differenti, però ħafna drabi simili, forsi r-ritmu jkun differenti biex tiġi indirizzata l-kustjoni kemm minn perspettiva ta' saħħa, però wkoll minn dimensjoni ekonomika. U f'dawn il-kuntest, f'dawn l-aħħar jiem, kellna wkoll diskors importanti illi fih stajna nifhmu u naraw aktar il-mod kif din il-politika ta' koeżjoni tal-Unjoni Ewropea intużat u ħadmet biex tiġi indirizzata din is-sitwazzjoni, il-politika speċifika ta' kif tista' tiġi indirizzata u mqarba il-differenza u indirizzata il-diskrepanzi illi hemm bejn pajjiż u ieħor fejn tidħol il-kwistjoni tal-ekonomiji vari u l-mod kif irrispondew minħabba il-situazzjoni tal-COVID-19. F'dan il-kuntest, f'dawn l-aħħar ġranet, kien hemm ukoll dikjarazzjonijiet importanti. Dikjarazzjonijiet li kellhom ilan li jispjegaw u anka jippreżentaw aspetti partikolari ta' din il-ħidma u l-inizjattivi li ġew ippreżentati f'dan il-rigward. Għaldasant, fil-feature li jmiss, fil-parti li jmiss tal-program, ser inkunu edin insegwu u nisimaw il-diskors li kienem f'dawn l-ħarjem li kellna fil-rigward tal-politika, tal-koeżjoni, tal-Unjoni Ewropea u kif ġiet din indirizzata fil-rigward tal pajjiżi vari u reġuni vari, però wkoll imbagħad b'mod holistiku il-ħidma li kienet qiegħda tiġi maħduma fi sforz partikolari, fi sforz dirett. Dak tal l'aspet tal comitati tal tal regioni bel commenti le saro anche menata tal president dal riguard dwar il politica ta coesioni git usata bilan li ikunem iniziativi konkreti li jirrispondu għal tiġijiet marbutin mal-Covid-19. Nisimaw x'qalet il-Kummissarju Elisa Ferreira f'dan il-feature il-imess.
Good afternoon. Very happy to welcome you here today to the press conference on the implementation of the Coronavirus Response Investment Initiative. We're glad to welcome here today our European Commissioner for Cohesion and Reforms, Ms. Elisa Ferreira, as well as the President of the Committee of the Regions, Apostolos Tsitsikostas. We will first have the introductions by the Commissioner and the President, and then followed up by a question. Please, Commissioner.
Thank you very much. Dear Mr. Tsitsikostas, dear colleagues and ladies and gentlemen of the press, we are starting today the European Week of the Regions. This is the largest event in Europe, bringing together national, regional and local authorities, social stakeholders and civil society. Unfortunately, with COVID, most of the events will be online. But I invite you to take a close look at the program and attend a lot of sessions. The importance of cohesion is often underestimated or taken for granted. But in times of crisis, it cannot be overstated. Cohesion is the highest form of European solidarity. It is an act of economic intelligence, and it is essential for the functioning of our internal market. When Corona hit, we reacted immediately. We changed the rules of the policy to enable all unallocated money to be instantly shifted to tackling the crisis. In April already, ventilators, masks and medical equipment were being bought, and companies and workers supported to survive the crisis. Almost 14 billion euros have already been mobilized in this way under what we called CRI, that is the Corona Response Investment Initiative, and there is more to come. Cohesion policy became one of the first responders of COVID. This is a story of partnership. It was only possible because all the partners, Commission, Member State, regions, local players, all of us worked together with unprecedented speed. In just 2 weeks, in March, the Commission drafted legislation, and it was approved by Council and by Parliament. This must be some kind of administrative record. And then the real work began, with regions, cities, and other local players implementing projects on the ground. Lockdown made life local, and we in cohesion policy are fortunate in our privileged relationship with the local level. So this is a story of speed. Cohesion policy as a first responder. This is a story of partnership, our close relationship with the local level, which in the crisis came to the fore. And this is a story of evidence, examples and data to which I turn now. Under decree, we have mobilized 4.1 billion euros for the health care sector. This has purchased vital machinery and personal protective equipment. For instance, in Spanish programs, they have been particularly active in this sector. They mobilized around 1.5 billion euros, investing in nearly 1 billion items for personal protective equipment, over 2,000 ventilators, and 3,800 additional hospital beds, which is a way, a technical way to say the capacity to care for extra 3,800 additional patients. Italian programs, for instance, were very active too, investing 450 million euros in a variety of measures, including equipping and financing 80 laboratories to test for COVID. Around 8.4 billion euros have been mobilized for the business sector. The investments enabled small and medium enterprises to stay afloat during the crisis by a variety of measures, including grants, loans, and personalized financial instruments. Italy is investing 2.5 billion euros in support working capital. Some 360,000, mostly small businesses, will benefit. Poland is investing 1.2 billion euros in support to working capital, and some 20,000 small and medium companies are benefiting. In Greece, an extra 1.1 billion euros have been invested in support to small business, followed closely by Romania with an extra 1 billion euros. For Greece and Romania, it is too early to say how many firms will have been supported in the end. All these figures are just first snapshots. A further 1.4 billion euros have been mobilized to support services to 1 million people, and this includes short-term working, support healthcare personnel, and social care for vulnerable groups. The situation is changing rapidly, and all of these figures will increase over time. The picture then will become clearer. But we, in the European Commission, are committed to accountability and to transparency. In a time when the Commission came with the most ambitious and comprehensive economic package ever, citizens have the right to know how their money is being spent. Cohesion wants to continue to lead the way and be closer to citizens, closer to stakeholders. So I would like to announce that as of today, the Cohesion Open Data Platform, the online platform through which you can see how funds are being distributed in member states, will include a dedicated dashboard on our response to the coronavirus. You will find for yourselves a treasure trove of data and examples on what we are doing with which country to counter the crisis. You can see which countries are mobilizing funds and how much. And you can see the indicators we are collecting to illustrate the impact of our investment. For example, the number of masks, ventilators, bed space, and laboratories equipped to test for COVID. This can be broken down by country and by program. There will be a technical briefing immediately after this press conference to show you how to access the data. These figures will be updated in real time as we get further information. As I said, all these figures are first snapshots. The picture is changing rapidly. The numbers will increase over time, and the new countries and measures will be added. But I wanted to be transparent and share with you the information that we have now. Firefighting measures can only be the first step. In the long term, we must rebuild our societies and economies, but not on the same old model. This is the moment for renovation, reconstruction on a better basis. This is the goal of REACT-EU, which is part of the broad Next Generation Package for Europe. REACT means an extra 47.5 billion euros for cohesion policy, making a bridge between the crisis and our long-term goal of a digital, green transition for all regions. We are still putting the finishing touches to REACT-EU legislation with the Parliament and with the Council, hoping that funding should start in the early 2021. These two will, of course, appear on the Open Data platform. With the funds mobilized this year under decree, and from next year onwards under REACT-EU, cohesion policy is fulfilling its mission, whether in the short-term crisis or whether in the long-term transition to a greener, more digital economy. No region shall be left behind. No European shall be forgotten. And this will be a stronger union. Thank you very much.
Fil-parti li mis sejrin nisimaw l-axar iniċjattivi li qed jittieħdu fuq livell Ewropew dwar is-saħħa u s-sigurtà fuq il-post tax-xogħol.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the press conference on the EU OSHA 2020-2022 campaign Healthy Workplaces Lighting the Road. This year, the campaign focuses on work-related musculoskeletal disorders. I have the pleasure to welcome in the press room Commissioner Schmidt, that will present this campaign together with Dr. Krista Sedlacek, the director of the European Agency for Safety and Health at Work, EU OSHA, and she will join us from Bilbao on the screen. We also have a video message for you today from Mr. Hubertus Heil, the German Federal Minister of Labour and Social Affairs, who could unfortunately not join us today. After the introductory remarks, we will be able then to take your questions. Commissioner, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Very good afternoon to everybody behind the screens. Good afternoon also, Bilbao. Let me start by saying that it is, of course, a great pity that we cannot meet in person, but in the current circumstances, this is for the best. Indeed, physical distancing, I prefer this term to social distancing, is among the most effective means to protect each other and those who work with us. This pandemic has shown us how tightly health and work are linked. It has shown us that being mindful of health and safety conditions at work can save lives, and that's our major objective, to save lives. It has also shown us just how crucial occupational health and safety is for our protection, for the prevention of further contagion, for the functioning of our society, and for the continuity of all activities. I am proud of the determined action of the European Commission during the pandemic. Several ambitious initiatives have been taken to tackle all the challenges we had, and we still have, by the way, to face. For instance, you will remember that at the beginning of the pandemic, shortages of personal protective equipment appeared in some EU countries. In order to support member states, the Commission rapidly launched a joint procurement initiative and created a strategic stockpile of medical equipment, such as protective masks. I'm also very proud of the successful work that we are doing with the European Agency for Health and Safety at Work, EU OSHA in Bilbao. We are closely cooperating to provide employers, workers and other partners with relevant and reliable practical information to deal with the challenges raised by this pandemic. Both OSHA's guidance on COVID-19 at the workplace and their guidance on return to work are very good examples. Today, we address an issue which the backdrop of the pandemic might sometimes be forgotten. However, the truth is that this is actually something that has been exacerbated by the crisis. I'm talking about work-related musculoskeletal disorders. This is the campaign we are launching today together with EU OSHA and the German presidency, and the German minister will soon join us. Many of us, 3 in 5, have experienced backache, stiff muscles, or a sore neck as a result of our work. This can severely affect our everyday lives, and it can be detrimental to our physical and mental health. As a consequence, these disorders can result in increased absences from work, and so loss of productivity, and for the companies that means reduced competitiveness and higher costs, obviously. Now that for certain professions, working from home has become a norm rather than an exception, the correct economic conditions may be even more difficult to ensure. I'm therefore glad that the EU-OSHA campaign on musculoskeletal disorders will pay particular attention to teleworking. EU-OSHA works very closely with the relevant stakeholders in the occupational health and safety area, such as member states, national focal points, social partners, experts, and preventive services. In the EU, we have learned, especially through this crisis, that together we are stronger. This is why I think that even when physically apart, we should redouble our efforts to continue working together to address challenges ahead. Dr. Sedlacek will give you more details about the kind of guidance and materials that are available as part of this important campaign. I encourage all employers and workers and employees to make use of the guidance and stay healthy. Ensuring the best possible work environment is critical for the health and well-being of the workforce. With the pandemic affecting how we live and work, we can all benefit from the guidance and resources published today. I repeat my full support to this campaign and wish it the greatest possible success. Thank you very much.
Aktar kmini dan il-periodu kien hemm ukoll punti importanti li ġew sawru referenza dwarhom minn ħadd tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea. Dak li huwa rule of law report li inħares minn perspettiva Ewropea dwar il-qada ta' sistemi ġudizzjarji madwar 27 stat membru. Nisimgħu l-kummenti li tat il-Kummissarju Jourova dwar dan il-riżultat u dak il joħroġ minn dan il-rapport f'dimensjoni Ewropea.
Move to the rule of law report. Ladies and gentlemen, you might agree with me that democracy, rule of law and fundamental rights are the foundations on which everything else is based in our union. Our rights, the freedom of the press, or independence of the judiciary. The history of democracy is a permanent search of the right balance that is limiting the powers of the powerful. It is a search for the right system of checks and balances so that citizens have their rights protected and can exercise their sovereign power as freely as possible. This is why today we have a pleasure to present to you the first annual rule of law report that covers all EU member states. This is a preventive mechanism we are presenting today, and the first report of the mechanism is in front of you. It fills an important gap in this respect. There are three main aims of this preventive mechanism: to identify potential rule of law problems at an early stage, to do this based on dialogue with each member state, and overall to strengthen the rule of law culture across Europe. This is the first time that the Commission is taking a wider look at rule of law issues across the Union. The report covers four pillars: justice systems, anti-corruption frameworks, institutional issues related to checks and balances, media freedom and pluralism. Why these? Because it is relevant to have an overview of these issues and see the links between them. Not least because deficiencies often merge into an undrinkable cocktail, even if the individual ingredients seem to be fine. I sometimes hear that the rule of law does not have a concrete definition at the European level. The report already also clearly addresses this, pointing to the Article 2 of the treaty, to the rulings of the Court of Justice, the Council of Europe, or the European Court of Human Rights.
The definition that emerges from this is actually quite comprehensive and, I believe, very logical. It includes the principle of constraints of public powers set by law, independent and impartial courts, legal certainty, separation of powers, equality before the law, and many more. This is all true. But what is also true is that when the rule of law is absent, when it is at risk, there is a concrete impact on every single one of our lives. I know this firsthand because I myself grew up in an authoritarian regime without the rule of law. This means that equality before the law was an illusion. There were people more equal than others. The politically appointed judges did not serve the justice. The media broadcasted propaganda in the service of the ruling party, and we had to listen to Radio Free Europe to search for a different perspective. The European Union was created also as an antidote to those authoritarian tendencies. When it comes to breaches to the rule of law, the European Commission has a clear role to play as guardian of the treaty. And this is why we will also, in the future, not shy away from launching infringements and continuing the discussion under Article 7. And this is why we also need the multi-annual financial framework conditionality to deal with the rule of law abuses against the financial interests of the EU. But next to this set of response measures, it is high time to also have a tool to detect rule of law issues early on and to prevent them from happening. The report we are presenting today is a new tool which is going to help us to do so. The report is objective and covers both positive and negative elements and should serve as a basis for a dialogue on rule of law with the member states. The reports were developed in an inclusive process and in close cooperation with the member states, and Didier will elaborate more on this specifically because he was leading the whole process. We treat member states in the same way. The reports are following a coherent structure. Ladies and gentlemen, let me conclude with a quote of Václav Havel. That seems very timely to me. The natural disadvantage of democracy is that it is extremely tiring to those who mean it honestly, while it allows almost everything to those who do not take it seriously. And it was the end of the quote, and if I may add something for today and to those who want to abuse it. Thank you very much.
Leġġina fit-tmim l-edizzjoni ta' din il-ġimgħa tal-programm il-Balon bajna Jasmin Saliba Fadal Ġejfri. Ngrazzakom tal-attenzjoni u nawguralkom il-kumplament tal-jum it-tajjeb.
Għadkom kemm smajtu. Il-Balomba. Produzzjoni u preżentazzjoni ta' Jasmin Saliba. Il-programm li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bi xewqa tajba ta' rappreżentanza tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea f'Malta.